Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's safe to say that our luck has officially turned around, guys. We are back, baby. We are back. We are back. Classic. We are back.
It just seems like things are difficult for the Chiefs right now on offense. And, you know, they have a much better defense statistically than the Ravens do right now. But I just think the Ravens are a much better football team. And I think that'll show up on Sunday.
The Chiefs will be fine. They are just not fine now. Then you come into a game and you've got questions about the Chiefs' offense.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Chiefs defense and the Ravens defense. Which thing did I leave out there? Oh, the Ravens offense. The Ravens offensive ranks compared to the Chiefs offensive ranks. I just simply do not think the Chiefs can keep up in this game. It's that simple. So the Ravens will cover 2.5 points because they're going to hang 27 on the board. Do we honestly feel confident that a Chiefs team is ready to put 30 points up on Baltimore based on what we've seen from them this year? I'm not talking about championship pedigree. I'm not talking about 5 years ago. I'm talking about what we're seeing from the Chiefs right now. They're not prepared to win a shootout.
Ravens have dropped like 40, 42, and 30. I think if the Chiefs tried to score 30 points right now, it would take 8 games.
Kansas City is anything but dominant on the ground. And then on the other side of the ball, the Ravens offense is the best unit in this game. I do think Lamar is going to have success against this Chiefs defense. I expect them to play a lot of zone. I think that they will send pressure less than they normally do. That's what Cece Mola did last time he played Lamar, only a 23% blitz rate, play coverage. And I think Baltimore and Lamar Jackson will be patient, willing to work underneath, play action, passing, attack, two tight ends on the field. So I think this offense will have a bounce back game, and I think that the Ravens have a chance to pull out the win.
I'll tell you what, one word, stupid.
Welcome well, I'll tell you what, show. Man, that was swings and misses all over the joint by the Nationals, huh?
Mm-hmm. Chiefs can't put up 30 points. Well, they put up 37, you're right.
Yeah, stay glued to the red zone and don't watch the games and see how these games are happening right before your eyes, right? Chiefs are no good. It's going to take them 8 weeks to put up 30 points. Who said that one?
That was Pat McAfee guy?
Yeah.
He's one of the guys on Pat McAfee's show.
Is it Boston Connor?
Yes, I think that guy, yes.
Okay. I wish we had that audio of that kid. It's like, Oh, and by the way, F you, Boston Connor.
You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
So good.
It's so good. It's ooh, so
feels
good.
Feels
good. Yes, it does. It's so good to sit back today and go, man, that was just one hell of a fun win, right? I mean, so good to see that team win yesterday, man. It was awesome. That was fun. It was fun. It was relaxing. It was enjoyable. It was all of those things that you want. Like, dudes were mowing their lawn in my hood yesterday in the third quarter.
Love
man.
It.
That's how that game was.
Yeah.
People were mowing late in the third quarter yesterday.
Mm. Yeah, I did all that Saturday before the concert. But that was crazy to see that offense click, to see how much of an impact Xavier Worthy can be, because, again, my mind always wants more, right? That's what we always want, like Ryback, feed me more. And you see what it does with Xavier Worthy coming back, and then, of course, immediately I'm going, what's it going to look like when they have Worthy and Rice back? You know,
best offense in the league.
Sound like Rex Hunter telling Salvi to get on his horse.
Or Rex Ryan looking at feet. Either way, it's the same noise.
I'm just here for the bang, is what Rex Ryan's shirt was.
Oh, my
said.
God. No, he did not.
Remember
no.
He did that on the 4th of July?
Oh, so that's
I'm
that's
just here to bang. He has two girls on his arms.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I was thinking of old school when the guy shows up at the door.
Oh,
you know, yeah. I thought he had a shirt on that said that.
That's Andy Dick.
My dad just met Rex. Great guy. He said he was super nice.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Hanging out. Is. Yeah.
Yeah, just keep him away from your wife's feet.
Yeah. Keep you away from Jerry Glanville.
Let's see how accurate we were.
Gone back and forth on this all week, but the Chiefs are not losing two home games in a row, especially as underdogs. So this is the most complete we're going to have seen this offense, not only from a roster perspective, but from actually on the field play perspective. We've seen Tyquan get involved. Xavier's back. This run defense is porous. We're going to see some good runs from both Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. Xavier Worthy's going to score. Pacheco's going to score. The defense is not going to be as good necessarily as people want it to be because Lamar is a cheat code. And so I wanted to get people prepared for that. Derrick Henry's not going to fumble every game. He's not going to fumble this Sunday. But the Chiefs will win in a tight game. They'll have to drive down the field at the end of the game to win it. Kelce will catch two clutch passes. The Chiefs will win 24-20.
So for me, the second half of last week's game was the breakthrough that the Chiefs needed on offense, and now they get to add Worthy back into the mix. You heard Mitch talk about that as well. That first drive in the second half was imperative for this team. The Chiefs will be playing with extra juice having Xavier Worthy back, and it opens up so much. We'll see the running game work. We'll see over 100 yards for the Chiefs, not counting Patrick Mahomes' rushing yards for this organization. Worthy will have a 45-yard or more reception and score, and Travis gets back into the end zone as well, atoning for the drop INT versus the Eagles 2 weeks ago. He needs to show big in this game. He had a rough one last week, had a rough one the week before. It's time to show up big for this game. No more yelling on the sidelines. Go out there, use that energy, and produce. The defense, I do believe they will force Henry to fumble. Chiefs win this game 35-0.
In the words of the great Jim Ross, I think this game is going to be a real slobber knocker. I think that the Chiefs get Thornton and Worthy going early. How they use Xavier will be interesting. Like, is he ready to get live action? Or is he just going to be a decoy? I'm yet to decide on what I think that's actually going to be, but we will see in this game. We find out early because Andy will always tell us in the plays, right? We know when he gets a new guy in his offense, the first ball goes right to him. When he gets a guy back, we're going to see if he's ready to go. At Arrowhead on Sunday. Mahomes looks real good, like real good, I think, in this game. And has all these Norwals out there talking garbage that, you know, he's taking a tier down. This is Josh Allen. This is his league now. This is not Mahomes' dominant anymore. Well, it's time to put those people to bed and be quiet. I think the Chiefs' D has a big turnover late in this game. What that turnover is, I don't know, but time will tell. And I see this one as I like it, 28-20 Ravens.
What?
Just kidding. I've got a 28-20 Chiefs in this game. So not bad.
Hey.
Not bad. Worthy was found early.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kelce was big in this game. Worthy did have a run that Bob called. It was 37 yards. His longest receiving catch was 37 yards, close to 40. They did run for 100 yards with Worthy, Pacheco, and Hunt, and Smith.
113, if you take Mahomes' number out of three or five. That's what it was. 118 total rushing yards. Take Mahomes' out. You're still over 100.
Mahomes only sacked one time.
I had a good weekend. Blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, right?
It's nice.
I don't know if Kelce was big. Five, is that big? What do you guys
for
think?
For him, no, that's big now. And also, like, the context of those catches were all big. Third downs, need someone. Hey, right. we've only scored two field goals on our two drives. We need a touchdown. Here's Kelce.
Right.
Like, yeah. That's what it felt like.
It did. It felt like he was there when you needed him, right? Like, if you look at the stats, 5 of 48, he's washed. But then you watch the game and you see what he did. You're like, oh, he was big.
He's good. Yes.
He was big. This is where the stat thing kind of gets in the way of what reality was, because those are 48 yards that, you know, everybody wants 100 yards every single game for everybody, right? But those 48 were big yards, and he was there when Mahomes needed him. And you talked about earlier, Mac, that floater.
Oh, it was so good. It was
so
perfect.
Pretty.
He just knew where he was going to be, man. It felt old school. That felt like, all right, that connection, it never left.
The Lamar fumble was in the third quarter, right?
No, I think that was before halftime. Wasn't that the one before halftime? Then they tried the field goal and missed the field goal. And then...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think that might have been it. Yeah.
They got 6 points off turnovers.
Yeah, I'd have to look at it. Yeah, I'd have to think about it. I watched the highlights again after just because I wanted to...
wanted to stay in it and continue to watch. Yeah.
I did. I haven't done that in a minute.
Well, that's the funny thing. See, I'm the same way. Like, I haven't watched much of the football show on NBC because that show sucks. I mean, that's just a train wreck from top to bottom. That show, they should be embarrassed that they roll that thing out there on NBC. That thing just blows. But I watched it because I wanted to see the highlights. I was flipping around to on the box, going to different stations to see what kind of highlights they were showing in the game, how Baltimore was. Like, I was in last night.
I mean, it had to have been the second half, right? Because I sent you no it's over text yet is wild. And I said that at 4:46.
That must have been.
Well, 3:25 start, though.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
We can look.
Yeah.
We are close on the parlay. We are close. Kelce just got to score some touchdowns.
Yeah,
he'll get there. I should have lost mine. Pacheco, 35. I had him at over 34.5.
Yeah, you had 34.5. You finished 35. I had the Chiefs on the money line. I ain't done.
Let's go. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, Pacheco is officially I think he played under 40% of the snaps yesterday. Breshard Smith was near 30% of the snaps yesterday.
He fumbled in the with 1:41 to go in the half.
In the half. There we go. Yeah. So in the half, not close to the end of the game. But so I mean, look, you took advantage of the turnovers, you won the point differential on turnovers. You made Lamar Jackson look like a rookie all over again. That goes to Spags. The offense looked like they were having fun. That goes to the offensive coordinator and the head coach and Matt Nagy and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Everybody played their role perfectly yesterday on the offensive side, minus Isaiah Pacheco and Harrison Butker.
And I think you nailed it. Fun.
Yeah.
Very fun.
They had fun yesterday.
I will say, I know we'll probably touch on Butker later. I think I'm the only one in KC who's not like out on him or
no,
like,
I don't think you are.
I'm not out on him.
Okay, good. Okay. It just feels like everyone's
very
like,
concerned.
Yeah.
I will say he's got the distance. The distance is there. Like that has not left. And that to me makes me feel like, okay, he can get the accuracy back. If once you lose the distance, it's like, all right, it's over.
Yeah. I don't know which one is more concerning, the distance or the accuracy. I think, cause I think, look, kickers in the game today now, They're a dime a dozen to kick a 55-yard field goal anymore.
I can trust Mahomes to get to 35. Can I trust Harrison Butker to put between the uprights?
I know he's going to get it there distant-wise, accuracy-wise.
No. He made a 59er this year, but it was off the upright.
Yeah,
but.
I mean, it's tough, man.
Yeah.
It's definitely concerning.
It is.
That's for sure. We will get to Josh Klingler in about 15 minutes or so, but playoff baseball is right around the corner. Josh Furner at 9 o'clock, and it's a huge day for Andy Reid. We explain all of that coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is George Karlaftis, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Going to bring it on an end around. Xavier Worthy needs a block. He gets one, now two at the 40. He's at the 30, turning on the speed and then out of bounds as the angle gets cut down by Roquan Smith, the three-time Pro Bowler. An end around. Did I say it's great to have Xavier Worthy back? That's a 35-yard end around on first down to the Raven 21.
Tell him, Mitch. Victory Monday, 37-20. How you doing, Kansas City? How you doing?
I know that I'm hard.
Better believe it.
Everybody should be in a good mood.
Hell yeah, man. Couldn't ask for a better victory from the Chiefs yesterday as they beat the Ravens 37-20. So Victory Monday, everybody goes and says, oh, I can watch TV again of the highlights. Yes. Well, you could have done it last week, too. The Chiefs have now, what is that, 59-29. That is a 30-point differential in 2 weeks.
That's a hell of a differential right there, man.
I mean, that's, where that's where you judge teams. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like, if you want to see a real big point differential, go look and see what the Kansas City Kern are doing to other teams.
Oh, my God.
It's insane. It's soccer, by the way, where games are normally 1-0 or 2-1. The point differential for the Kern is nasty. The Chiefs' point differential in the last 2 weeks, they've scored 40. They've scored 59. They've given up 29. That's real easy math, even for your boy, who's an idiot, doesn't know what he's talking about. 30-point differential in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and that's
great.
That's where you got to go. And now you play a Jacksonville team that I think we're all smart people. I think we can all look at the tape and be like, there's no business losing this game on Monday night to the Jacksonville Jaguars, where the Chiefs are favored by 3.
Yeah, and I don't know anything about Jacksonville, quite honestly, because they haven't played anybody good, so it's hard to get a real read on whether or not they're any good. Obviously, you got to have to stop the running back a little bit and figure him out. I'm not scared by the quarterback, and the coach doesn't really freak me out at this point in time either. I love
he freaks me out. But
well,
not.
Yeah, and yes, he's weird. He wants to fight Robert Saleh.
Yeah, don't on do that.
I mean, you want to fight Robert Saleh on the sideline? You got to have a screw loose, because Robert Saleh will kick your ass, man. I don't care who you are; your ass is getting kicked by Robert Saleh.
Him or Dan Campbell? That'd be a good brawl.
Now that should be the halftime show at the Super Bowl.
<That's>, yeah.
Right? If Campbell and Saleh aren't in the Super Bowl, let's have a boxing match.
Love I also it. Don't disagree with what Liam Cohen did.
I don't either.
You
Hell
said
no.
I cheated, and then you went on the sideline after you beat him and said,
suck it.
Put that in your brain. Huh? How about that, Robert Saleh?
Yeah.
You're not a head coach. I am. Get bent.
Robert Saleh was accusing Jacksonville stealing signals and stuff like that all week, I guess. And
you really the guy that goes, Duval, is that smart enough to see what signals are?
Yeah.
And if they get are, bent. Yeah. Do better, Robert Saleh. Like, sorry. Like, I know that the sky is falling in San Francisco with every single injury that keeps amounting to them. And you lost your first game and you showed up like an ass. Like, I disagree with Robert Saleh on the end of that game. Like, if you're going to accuse somebody, then if you're going to walk it, go talk it, right? Don't just slap your gums and have a bunch of, words that come out. Then the end of it, like, oh, I bet you don't want to fight me. Yeah, I don't.
You don't? No,
you're
I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a psychotic football coach that's ripped.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers was right.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
816.
That's a good point, Dusty.
816 says, don't forget Vrabel. He'll rip your head off. Yeah, that's the trio.
That's the number one guy.
Yeah.
That's Vrabel's number one heavyweight undisputed champ of any coach I don't want to fight.
Because he's got crazy in him.
Also, don't sleep on Mike Tomlin, dude. Like, I don't know about him. I mean, Mike Tomlin might be one of those guys where you're like,
flip
hey, man,
switch.
And then bam.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin would, yeah.
He's scary.
He'd F you up, too.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to think who else is out there. Oh, D'Amico Ryans. I'm not messing with D'Amico.
That's a
former defensive player. You know.
I feel like Jim Harbaugh would be the guy that'd be absolutely bloody in the face. Be like,
oh, 100%.
Is that all you got?
No, he'd be Rocky sitting in the corner.
That's all you got. I got Herbert.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
I just feel like there's a lot of insecurities with Robert Saleh. I don't know what
Well,
it
I
is.
Think a lot of people in sports have insecurities, though. I mean, they're told that they're not going to be any good. They got to work hard, busted, always out there trying to prove everybody wrong. Yeah, I would imagine there's a lot of people that are insecure. But one guy who's not is Andy, obviously.
I was about to say, not Andy.
Not
he proved
Andy.
Everyone wrong yesterday. That was a big game for him, in my opinion.
I thought so, too. And I think when you're a guy that's comfortable in their skin with who they are and you've been around the block long enough, you don't care anymore about what people think. You have nothing to prove to anybody. And yesterday, Andy coached his 200th game as a Chief. And he's 145-55 in the regular season in his 200 games as head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
That's incredible.
And you kind of look at what he's done over the course of his career. He coached 240 games in Philadelphia. And I've been telling people for the last couple of years now, we're very close to having an NFL player who didn't know that Andy Reid was the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. We may have an NFL player. I mean, we got guys that can't line up on sides. So we may have an NFL player that doesn't know that Andy Reid coached the Philadelphia Eagles. 40 more games in Philadelphia than he has here in Kansas City. And he has 11 playoff appearances in Kansas City, only 9 in Philadelphia.
Pat Mahomes.
So do you realize he's got 5 Super Bowls here, 1 in Philadelphia.
Ooh.
Andy Reid essentially has had 2 Hall of Fame careers. His career is a Hall of Fame career in Philadelphia. Not as great, but he's still a Hall of Fame coach in Philadelphia. And now he's a Hall of Fame coach here in Kansas City. And that's remarkable. To see a guy like Andy Reid have two separate Hall of Fame careers in the NFL as a head coach? That's just stupid.
Incredible.
Does Parcells get that?
I don't think so, no. He didn't win anywhere else, you know. He did take the Patriots to the Super Bowl, but, you know, the Dallas thing was a mess. He did with the Jets. Like,
the Giants, he was great.
He was great with the Giants. He was good everywhere else.
Yeah, that's fair. This comes from Chuck Hogg Norris on Twitter or X.
I heard of him.
Supposedly has a hamstring injury, but it's not even on his hamstring. Lamar Jackson quit. There's like a picture of Lamar Jackson wrapped up, what you said earlier, with the ice pack on the back of the knee.
Yeah, did you see that ice pack?
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. Hey, look, I will say this. To be fair, it was 37-13.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were getting their ass kicked, and there was 4:55 left.
Yes. But when he went out of the game, what was it?
It was
30-13?
Yeah,
so a 17-point game. Yeah. I get it. I mean,
the picture on X from CBS is 37-13, 4:55 left, and he's got a wrap around his knee and on the back side of his knee. I mean, hey, look, man, if you want to wave the white flag, I have no issues with
that. I don't either, but the coach should tell him. Yeah, just say, look, man, I pulled him out of the game. We're getting our ass kicked. I didn't want to get him hurt. We've got, what, 13 more of these to go in this whole thing? But
their next two games, I believe, are the Texans and the Rams. Yes, the Texans and the Rams.
That's right.
Not gimmies.
No, they're not.
And maybe the Texans figured something out. Now, they played those Tennessee Titans, and they are the worst team in the NFL.
But sometimes just seeing the success and realizing the success carries you.
CJ had that deep ball back. He said even after the game that he's having the same issues that they did to Mahomes. They're playing shell zone defense against them. He's got to figure out how to nip and tuck all below instead of going deep to Nico all the time.
They're
just taking away Nico. And then now they're like, if you want to
figure it out,
you can throw these little underpasses and try to do it. And so now they're trying to figure that out. Plus, his offensive line sucks.
Oh, God.
Your hamstring goes across the back of your knee. Thanks, bud. I do want to say this, though, because yesterday's game from an offensive standpoint was great. But from a defensive standpoint, it was better. Am I wrong about that?
They're
both amazing. I don't know.
Amazing. I love the offense. We needed that.
But we knew what we had on offense. We knew, at least
I get what you're saying.
If Worthy was back, it was going to move better.
Yeah, I agree.
We know what Travis Kelce is. We know what Holly Brown and Tyquan.
I had more confidence.
I don't think anybody knew it was going to be that good, though.
But that
yesterday.
Was like Lamar Jackson drove down the field on the first drive and shoved it to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, okay,
like, damn
here's
it.
That slobber knocker I was talking about. And then it was gone.
Good done. That was it. They didn't show up the rest of the way.
Derrick Henry ran the ball 8 times.
Going off script, man. You get these quarterbacks off script in the NFL. It's Mahomes and Josh Allen. They're really the only two that are effective off the script.
I'd give Spags more credit than what you're. I mean, that sounds like Lamar sucks. No, like Spags.
Oh no, it's not.
Lamar's great.
Lamar was great on the script. He went off the script and immediately it was over for them. And yes, obviously Spags. But I just watched these quarterbacks like Caleb Williams when he went off the script. You know, he's terrible when he goes off the script. You just see it a lot now, more in the NFL, where everybody has a really good first drive and then it's a cluster after that. Right? Not a lot of these guys. We've got one that can truly play once the first 15 are done.
I think the other thing too is that the result of this game is exactly what everyone in the national media said it would be when it came to the scenarios. If the Chiefs win, they are back. This team looks like they could be a potential, you know, Super Bowl candidate again. Let's see what happens. Xavier Worthy's going to play. And if the Ravens lose, is it trouble in paradise with Jim or John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson? Today, a lot of shows are saying, what's going on with Baltimore? This is their worst start since 2015. Are they getting tired of the Jim or the John Harbaugh stuff? Are they getting tired of this? The defense is trash. The offense can't sustain what the defense is giving up. And we saw that yesterday. The Baltimore Ravens offense came out, knocked up 7. Chiefs got 3. Baltimore came back, threw an interception. Chiefs get the ball, get 3 points. All of a sudden, the Chiefs just didn't go away, and Baltimore couldn't close out anything. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't give the ball to their best player, Lamar Jackson. They couldn't give the ball to their best wide receiver, Zay Flowers. They stopped running the ball with one of the best running backs we've seen in the last decade, Derrick Henry. They didn't do it. They turned the ball over 3 times. Lamar Jackson fumbled. Lamar Jackson threw an interception, and then I think that may be the only turnovers. But again, this is exactly what we thought it would be. If the Chiefs won, which they did, and they won in dramatic fashion in 37-20, now everybody's going, well, they get Rice back in 2 weeks. They play Jacksonville. Sure, they're going to have a tough one against Detroit. That's 2 weeks away. They've got Jacksonville next week. Then all of a sudden, they're above .500 if they win that game. And the Chargers lost yesterday. And then you look at the Ravens. big time trouble in paradise.
Well, there is, but I think John Harbaugh kind of falls into that same category as Andy Reid of coaches we kind of just take for granted and expect them to go out there and just win all the time. And then when they suffer a couple of losses, everybody starts to kind of freak out. I think John Harbaugh is still a good football coach, but his team is just decimated by injury right now. And that's what even Andy said after the game. I know they're boys and everything, and he's going to defend his guy, but they're decimated by injuries right now. I don't think this is an indication of John Harbaugh being a bad football coach or it's time to move on. I don't know anybody that could recover from the MASH unit that was out there for Baltimore yesterday.
What this guy see from the sidelines, hit it, Mac.
He's traded sleep for tennis elbow and Bob for high school kids.
That's John Klinger.
But he's still the best in the business down there on the sidelines.
Let's go to the sideline. There's Josh Klinger.
It's Watson. Yeah, twice tonight. Justin Watson gets the big play. Jalen Watson gets the big play.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network sideline reporter Josh Klinger with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It's a Monday, 8:30. That means our guy, Josh Klingler, joins us. And, you know, before he does, Kling, I think we saw a really good game from Patrick Mahomes. I mean,
hey, man, what did you make of Mahomes yesterday? Was that his best performance ever?
What say you, Josh Klingler? Was that his best performance ever or best performance since when?
Yeah, I was trying to think of since when, because I thought yesterday he was amazing. Like, just kind of completely in command. Kind of put the ball wherever he wanted to, seemingly had everybody open at some point in time as he went through his progressions. I thought he was terrific yesterday. And, you know, there's a lot of games where you kind of look, you know, and Pat does his thing and you kind of just kind of move on and you take it for granted a little bit. But I thought yesterday he was spectacular. Now, granted, you know, Baltimore was decimated on defense, as you guys have been talking about with the injuries, but I don't think it takes away from what they were able to diagnose and dial up and get to offensively yesterday. I thought it was pretty good. I don't know the win, but it's been a while since I think I've seen him play like that.
I think for me, it was the Bears game, Taylor's first game in Kansas City, Josh, a couple of years ago. That when they put up 41, that to me is the last, like, wow moment.
Did we even watch that game? I don't remember. I thought everybody was looking towards the stands.
We were watching Taylor most of the time, yeah.
I think I was watching the photographers shoot pictures. I try to shoot picture of the field and then turn around and shoot like 10 photos to the suite. Yeah. So, and then figure out if she was in that popcorn machine. But yeah, I mean, I thought that the way that they, you know, got the ball around the field, I think Xavier Worthy's presence obviously, you know, obviously helped with that regard, made that offense look a lot smoother. But I thought Patrick was fully in command. I thought the offensive line did a good job of keeping him clean, and that's what this offense can be if all the parts are running as they should.
Yeah, and Xavier Worthy, man, he's just that's what we should have saw in Brazil on week one.
Yeah, and, you know, I asked Juju Smith-Schuster about it after the game, and I thought, okay, well, I probably won't get this answer because this feels like a you're not in their answer. This is a, you know, 10,000 foot answer. But I'm like, his presence makes it different, right? And he's shaking his head and said, absolutely. So it opens up everything. You know, they have to respect the deep presence. You get a change in the safeties. It just opens up the field and unlocks a lot of things that they're trying to do. So, you know, not that it's down to one player for this offense, but one player can really make a difference in unlocking things. And then obviously they target him a lot too. You know, they weren't shy about getting into the football yesterday, but just his presence is one thing, and then also his productivity when he's getting the ball is another.
Yeah, when you look at productivity and getting the ball, obviously we used to see in Travis Kelce, number 87 on the field, getting 6, 7, 8 catches a game, 115. But yesterday was a nice, methodical, veteran style of play. Did you see a lot of that yourself, like as you watch the game develop, Kling, when you're seeing – all right, this is what we need to see from the tight end in year whatever, 13.
Yeah, that's what I felt. Like, it kind of just dawned on me. Like, I feel like it's okay for Travis Kelce to just be a normal NFL tight end right now. He doesn't have to be the super tight end that we've had. Mm-hmm. That he's towards the tail end of his career. Just get him the ball and get 7 yards, or get him the ball on third down and get a first down. He knows how to get himself in space. He's probably not going to break away a lot of times, although we did see him have the long touchdown already this season. But if he's just the guy that works the middle of the field and gets you chunks, that's absolutely fine. It doesn't have to be a backbreaking, you know, 20, 30-yard play all the time. Just give me seven. Just be a regular NFL tight end, and I think within this offense, that's going to be good enough. And then there are going to be times where Patrick finds him as a security blanket. I think he threw a couple really good plays to him yesterday again where he just knows where Travis is at and can do those types of things. But I don't know that you have to put everything on him. I think there'll be certain games where he'll be more of a factor, but if he's just a regular tight end that gets open, middle of the field, gets first downs at this stage in his career, I think that's more than okay.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that, especially when you have Worthy and then Rice coming back. And yesterday we saw Breshard Smith kind of stepping up a little bit. It was fun to see him get involved in the offense.
Yeah, and it sounded like that was kind of a portion of practice last week, that it was like more and more. You saw like a little sprinkle of it last week when they kind of gave him one of the Worthy, I guess, end-arounds that Worthy's getting back now, clearly, because he's really good at doing that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But just using him kind of more and more, he wasn't in on the first kickoff, and I thought, okay, that means he's probably going to get a few more looks on offense, and he has. His ability to split out, I think, has been good. So, no, you're continuing to add pieces. Worthy is, if Worthy stays healthy and Rice comes back, you've seen Tyquan Thornton now not just be a vertical threat, but be able to run other routes and get himself in position and be a guy in the red zone. That's a lot of pieces to get the football to. So it's going to be fun to watch them do that. I think the offense is going to be just fine. Give the quarterback enough time. He's going to have enough parts to be able to get the football to.
Yeah, you look at yesterday's game with Lamar Jackson exiting the game due to what they said was a hamstring injury. You're obviously down there. It was wrapped up, ice pack, whatever on it. Was that more so like it didn't feel right, or this one's over, white flag, Cooper Rush, go finish up the slot pit?
That's what it felt like to me. And then the coach's cryptic answers after the game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't think John Harbaugh really helped the situation. It was weird, guys, because one, no one saw what happened. Suddenly he's just sitting on the bench, and he's sitting on the bench by himself. No trainers around. No players are talking to him. He's just sitting. At one point in time, Harbaugh did finally come over, but I was kind of just watching him and the interactions, and no one was around him. And suddenly Cooper rushes up and with the first team offense, and he's out there. And it was weird. Like, okay, did he have a mystery hamstring? Did they pull the plug? It didn't seem like they really pulled the plug, that he might have pulled the plug, which is indeed interesting. I'm not going to, make proclamations that he did this or did that, but I think it's a situation to watch, and I'm guessing it will be around the NFL, especially after the game when John Harbaugh says, I don't know when he got injured. I don't know the extent of the injury, and I don't know if he could have come back in if it was close. What? Like, help the guy out a little bit if you're trying to defend him. So I think it's one of many questions the Ravens are going to have to answer. Obviously, they have more questions than Lamar Jackson. Their injury situation is a mess, and their defense wasn't good before the injuries, let alone what's going to happen after the injuries. And then, give credit once again to the Chiefs' defense. I thought the week before, Detroit's second-half defense against the Ravens was masterful in the way they shut that thing down. Chiefs took some of that and amplified it as well. And I thought the first drive went down the field and Chiefs do what they do, made the adjustment, shut things down from then on out, and did just a really, really good job in slowing things down. I mean, you held that Ravens team to essentially 13. That last touchdown was kind of a busted breakaway, right? But even 20 points for what this Ravens offense has been doing this season is a terrific job by the Chiefs defense, limiting damage, at least for the most part, but then also just dialing it up and shutting things down, getting keys, sacks, tip passes, turnovers now too. I liked where this defense is going. They'll continue to be underappreciated while we magnify whether or not the offense is going great or not so great.
Yeah, they're always underappreciated. When did you smell weed the first time yesterday?
This is the second game in a row where I don't. Maybe it's just too commonplace now. I don't know. used to get the definitive whiff down the stands at some point during the game, but no, I don't. It's been a couple games in a row. Otherwise, or I've just become immune to it. I don't know. Maybe
I figured you'd smell a lot of weed once the announcement was the Chargers lost to the Giants yesterday.
Yeah, that wasn't so bad. It is funny though when you're in stadium, because like I felt like everybody kind of knew, but you know, they wait for it. They wait for the highlight. It's almost like bated breath, and they show it, and then the place goes crazy. But I'm like, didn't everybody see the score already come through? I mean, I was kind of burned. It's great though. We're scoreboard watching in like week four,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, it does make it kind of fun because it spent the whole, you know, noon to three block doing pregame and watching red zone, you know, and keeping an eye on teams that could affect the Chiefs. It's kind of a fun way to go because, you know, a lot of times it's front running, right? Or the teams are going to have to catch the Chiefs. This is kind of fun, at least for a little bit. I'd rather reel the Chargers in sooner rather than later, though.
And Dave Tobe nailed this one in the pregame, huh?
I mean, Dave Tobe, with Danan Hughes in the pregame, says, one team's going to walk out of here 1-3, and it ain't going to be us. I was like, wow, Tobe. It was pretty early in the pregame. Even Dana kind of lit up. He goes, yeah. He goes, I couldn't believe when he said it. That was kind of amazing. So I think they were pretty fired up that they weren't going to let this one get away. But, yeah, we need more Dave Tobe pep talks, apparently.
Apparently so. Who knew?
Before we let you go, Kling, I know we're running against the clock here, but I do want to ask you this because it's part of our topic on the other side. Do you think that the phasing out of Isaiah Pacheco is beginning?
I think it's kind of the hot hand, and well, whatever hot hand means, but you know, I think they probably have a plan for both, but boy, neither seem to really be engaged in what's going on in the run game. Hard to break off any long runs. Just give me like a 15 yarder, somebody, yeah, you know,
right. Not named Worthy or Mahomes.
Yeah. It's just seemingly the really difficult to find any space in running. Now, hopefully maybe Xavier Worthy opens things up where you're getting the ability to run a little bit more. I don't know. I couldn't tell in New York if Pacheco was mad or he's obviously got a lot of family at that game and he was running out to get his family, but he like jetted off the field in New York two games ago. And, I thought, well, that was kind of weird. He ran it 10 times, but maybe he felt like he needed to get more carries than that. But it just looks like it's going to be kind of a split deal. I mean, it's been about 50-50 every time. So, and then who knows if Rashard Smith gets a few extra looks, we'll see. But I still think that, you know, they're looking for a dynamic type, either runner or guy that can catch passes. And yeah, it looks like Kareem Hunt fits a little bit of that mold more, and certainly Rashard Smith does if they're able to get him more involved in the pass game.
No doubt. Like Henry Lake once said, you got to ride the hot guy, if I'm quoting that correctly. Kling.
And stay for all the games. Don't do what Henry did, because 11 years ago tomorrow night, he left early.
Hey, when you go to Jacksonville to do the sideline reporting for the Chiefs Radio Network, make sure you get a Camel Rider sandwich. They say it's popular in Jacksonville. You'll let us know, I guess.
At the stadium or somewhere else?
It's Jacksonville. It's their cuisine. It's their food, man. So we need a full rapport.
Camel Rider.
Stuffed
pita. Camel.
Yeah, stuffed pita bread.
Oh, that makes it better.
Yeah.
Smash. Camo or camel.
Either one, disguise when you eat it. Kling, we'll talk to you next Monday, same time.
See you guys.
Later. That's Josh Klinger coming up. Still want a running back, or what is the running back situation? We'll dive into it here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Back at it, finishing up the 8 o'clock hour. Flew by today because it's a victory Monday. Don't forget, go to Hy-Vee, 37 cents off your gallon of gas.
Yeah,
it's real simple.
You
go scan your card at Casey's or Hy-Vee gas stations, boom, fill your car up. Put that in your pipe and drive it. I guess. I don't know. Chiefs do win 37-20. Victory Monday. Awesome game yesterday. Patrick Mahomes was him. Steve Spagnuolo was him. Nick Bolton manned everything down in the middle. Leo Chenal, nice pick on the outside. Again, the running. We had Kling just on. Hot hand. That's what it's going to be. Unless somebody, to me, what this looks like, right? We've seen this before in all sports, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, whatever it is.
say you got a point guard problem at the University of Kansas. Well, one of you guys is going to have to go take the job. It's go get it, right? We know what Kareem Hunt is. Short yardage, 5 yards in, 29 is getting the ball. Right?
I love that. He's good. Fine. He's perfect with
that.
That's
your role. You know it, right? We talked about Travis Kelce's role as a veteran tight end. Third and four, go give me 5 yards. First and 10, set us up. Go get us 6 yards on a pass play. At the end of the day, is your line going to be like 5 or 6 for 50 to 70 yards? Cool. I'm good with that. I'd like you to get a couple touchdowns, though, so you can make our three-leg parlay go into effect. But again, like you look at what this team is doing, they're leaning on the vets and they're letting the guys that have the more talent kind of lead the way. Xavier Worthy came back and was like, so that's why they struggled against the Chargers and they struggled against the Philadelphia Eagles and they didn't struggle against the Giants because they suck and they beat the Ravens because they had most of their team back together. Now the only thing missing is the belief in your kicker's mind and to his leg and the belief that when Rashee Rice comes back, this offense is going to take another step. I mean, they put up 37 against the Ravens. Terrible defense, I understand that. But 37, and they still had wide receiver one missing.
Yeah, and they got the production from their running backs yesterday. I thought Pacheco ran hard at times. There was a couple of nice runs I saw out of him. But again, I'm not expecting much out of this guy anymore. He's done. It's time to move on. And if you have the 10 jersey, it may be time to upgrade, right, and get something different for the Isaiah Pacheco jersey fan in your life, because I just don't think he is going to be back. This is not new information. We've been saying it since day one. With Isaiah Pacheco. And then you had, you know, Smith show up. Welcome to the offense, Mr. Smith, yesterday, right? Like, Rashard Smith was really, really good. And you know what the thing is? He's young. He's 4 years younger than Isaiah Pacheco. He's a 7th-round draft pick. He costs no money. And so at the end of the season, when the team does move on from Isaiah Pacheco, don't lose your minds that they're moving on from a guy that you like, because in the first 2 weeks of the season, you were ready to move on from Travis Kelce. You were ready to move on from this guy. You were ready to move on from that guy, right? Everybody was. So when they move on from Isaiah Pacheco in the offseason, now we've got a guy in Rashard Smith. Welcome to Kansas City, man. I thought after that first play where, you know, looked a little lost out there, he was good the rest of the way. He was really, really good. Showed some speed, showed the ability to catch the football, showed the ability to run the football. I like what I saw out of him. And the more that he starts to produce and get better, the bigger a weapon he can become in this offense, and the less you do have to rely on both Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, who for all intents and purposes are the same running back. I mean, they're just give them the ball and just let them blow through the offensive line and destroy people in their way. Rashard Smith, more of a finesse guy that can get out in space. He can catch the football. Kind of what we wanted Clyde Edwards-Helaire to be, that kind of that change of pace running back. That's what I saw yesterday out of Rashard Smith. And I really, really like that with the pairing of one of those guys that can run hard in between the tackles.
So would you be out of the running back business?
No. No, not based on one game of a rookie against a bad defense. No. You always have to look at making your roster better. And if you have an opportunity to do that via the trade and, you know, you can do that and you feel comfortable about it, then by all means, yeah, absolutely, you go make that trade. Are you out of the running back?
No.
I don't think you look at one game for anybody and determine,
All right, we're good.
Yeah. We've seen what's – but again – you do have a head coach who really doesn't utilize that position. So if you go out and get him a good running back, let's just say.
Well, he did when he had Jamal Charles and he did when he had rookie Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, but you didn't have much of a passing game back then,
Tyreek Hill.
Not
Kareem Hunt.
With Kareem, you did, but you didn't have. And Tyreek Hill was a converted running back in that first year. He wasn't a superstar.
But we had a passing
wide receivers.
Game.
Yeah, we had not that first year with Jamal Charles.
Oh, Dwayne no, Jamal Bowe Charles was your, fine. Yeah, I that's mean, fair.
You utilize the guys and the talent that you had. Andy likes to throw the football, right? I've gone rounds with a lot of different people over this running the football thing inside the organization, outside the organization. Anybody that's known Andy, he just it is what it is, right? So you can go get him a running back. Will he utilize?
He'll throw to him.
And that's fine. I guess if that's what we're going to do, if we're going to see Xavier Worthy be an extension of the running game like this, then I'm okay with it. It's like he's allergic to it. It's okay. It is who he is, right? Every single person who coaches in the NFL has their tics, that certain things that they don't do. Running the football for whatever reason as a like a normal that we're used to, line it up 3 yards in a cloud of dust, doesn't exist here with Andy.
Which, I mean, if passing offense is going to look like that, I don't really care.
Yeah,
too
you don't
much.
Care about the running game,
exactly.
Right? But you still need the balance. I mean,
no, they do.
Yeah,
they do.
You do. It was Melanie Collins yesterday. I want to credit her. She was on the sidelines for the Giant Charger game, and she said the best friend of a quarterback is a good running game.
It is,
and you know, it seems now over the last year and 4 weeks of this NFL season, there has been well more of an emphasis placed on the running game in this league. And so however you do it, however you run the football, continue to do it. They had 113 yards on the ground when you take away Patrick Mahomes yesterday. I'll take that every single day. It wasn't conventional, but it was still running the football, and it caused the defense to have to care about the run game.
No doubt. I mean, we'll see what happens tonight in that Jets-Miami game. If Breece Hall looks good and the Jets lose, you might. If you lose to Miami and you're the Jets, you might as well just pack it up.
Sal, let's go. Right.
That's what I'd like to see, Breece Hall or Alvin Kamara, because they did not use Alvin Kamara. Was he hurt yesterday?
No, they used him.
That's not as much. I mean, they used that one guy more.
Loving Kendre Miller a little bit.
Yeah, they were loving Kendre Miller.
They were loving Kendre Miller, which I did note that as well. I was like, okay, that's good. Less Alvin Kamara.
Well, that's what you want to do, though, if you're the New Orleans Saints. Yes. You've got a new head coach. Alvin Kamara's been there forever and a day. He's been through the rigors of everything. He's seen the bad. He's lived through terrible. You know, he's seen maybe a little bit of good.
Maybe.
Send him somewhere else and start bringing your own guys in. I don't have a problem.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With that same thing with Tennessee, man, start unloading everybody down there. Not that there's anybody to unload, but
talk to you later.
Coming up next, we get to Josh Vernier one last time for the rest of the baseball season. Royals finish 82-80, and there's a dynamite AL side of the playoffs starting tomorrow. We get to Vern next one last time here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Royals.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Creed Humphrey, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.